The promise that the Lord has given me is that the house, the light, this temple will carry the latter glory. The glory of this temple, the latter glory shall be greater. And then going to Isaiah chapter number 60, it says that your light shall so shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And I will bring the princes and the wealth of the Gentiles to you, but I shall bring your sons and your daughters from afar. And that is a promise the Lord gave me. He says, listen, you won't need to travel all the time and wear your body out. As a prophet situated in a country, people will come and people will travel. That is why we are building our buildings in a way that can cater for that type of setting. And that is going to be the special caveat on it. Are you guys with me? So I want you to see this in your mind's eye. I want you to see this, which I'm going to get into tonight, the mind of God this morning, the mind of God. I want you to see this. I want you to see the future. You see, your ability to go farther is determined by what you can see in your mind. A lot of people, a lot of believers' minds have even been darkened. The Bible says the unbelievers' minds have been darkened. But we sit in the church where believers don't have a renewed mind and they are unable to see the future. How far you can see is how far you can be. Don't waste your life on this earth. Time goes like this. Are you guys with me? But when you have the ability to alter your mind and to see, to renew your mind. Now I'm going to get into the technology. Maybe I'm not going to finish with this morning's message. And it's fine. Tonight we have another message. So this series we're carrying on in the mornings. Tonight I'll be here in Centurion. And we're going to have a night. So we've called it Unveiled. And I'm going to call it for a while. It's Encounter Nights Unveiled. I'm going to keep it unveiled because the Lord spoke to me that, you know, I rarely prepare stuff. In the mornings, I kind of like do, but I rarely prepare for meetings because there's an unveiling that takes place and there's a revelation that comes forth. Even when I'm on the pulpit, even while I'm preaching, revelation comes forth. I think it was in Krugersdorp, or I can't remember if it started here in Krugersdorp. I was preaching on commanding angels, and then I really went deep into it at Cape Town. And I explained the biblical instruction, truth and concept of commanding and instructing angels. Because a lot of people are like, don't do that, you can't do it, you don't have the authority to do it. Yet the Bible says we can command God. We can instruct God. The Bible says, command ye the works of my hands. For who has known the mind of the Lord so that he may instruct him? But Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ, so that we may instruct him. So there is a capability and a relationship and a partnership with God that we can walk in, where the Bible says that as the Father is in us, we are in him. As the Son is in the Father is in the Son. As he is, so are we on this earth. That God has given, made us the only creation that has the ability to articulate a linguistic vocabulary, a language, that has the ability to create, because words create, sound creates. When God spoke, the Bible says that he said, let there be light. So sound was before light. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and then the Word was God. So there's the genesis of God, and we see the beginning of everything is the Word. The beginning of everything is a sound. So now God decides to put a sound in your mouth and in your life, but that is comprised with a linguistic tone and frequency that creates a language, that has the ability to create a language and have the ability to speak. Are you guys with me? So the Tower of Babel, they were all had one language. And God says, listen here, because they have one language, their tone, their frequency, and their linguistic is in unity. They have the right tone. They have the right frequency for the glory of God. They have the right linguistic, the right language. That everything they imagine to do, they will accomplish. Let's disperse the languages. Are you guys with me? And in Acts chapter number 2, the glory of the Lord came down, and the fire came down in the day of Pentecost. And they were given again one language. So not only do you have a natural language, you have a spiritual language. Are you guys with me? Say with me, a spiritual language. And I understand for some this might sound foolishness, because your man, you still have the natural man, not the spiritual man. We have three types of men. We have a natural man, spiritual man, and carnal man. And the human nature, the human man, the man has a twofold nature. The outside, the outward man, and the inward man. And we have to get into this concept to understand the mind of God. The mind He has given you. Are you guys with me? Is this too much, or is it okay for a Sunday morning? Okay, other churches will go blank, but your encounter, you should be able to understand. Some might have called me a heretic already, and I haven't even started my message. Please know that everybody that ever bought change was called a heretic, even Jesus. Some people are so limited by this word. Let me change the wording. They are so limited by their understanding of this word that they think they know it all. Whenever somebody comes to me and says, show me the verse in the scripture, I just think, you uncircumcised Pharisee, stiff-necked, who persecuted and shed the blood of the prophets before you like your forefathers did, you also do now. What did the Pharisees do with Jesus? All they said, it's not in the law. It's not in the law. It's not in the word. No, no, no. It's not in your understanding. There are levels that we go in God, that God chooses and decides to unlock and reveal things. Revelation doesn't come by our choice. Revelation comes by God's choice. It is by His election. The moment He can only bring revelation once we upgrade our mind. Are you guys with me? A lot of believers don't want to upgrade their mind. They are stuck in their old place, and God cannot do anything. Are you guys, say with me, upgrade my life. I want to speak to you this morning on how to upgrade your life. So in the scripture, we have different minds. We have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the Spirit. We have the mind of the unbeliever, which is darkened. And we have the mind of the believer, which is enlightened. Are you guys with me? So those are the different types of minds we get in Scripture. And then another mind is mind your own business. That's what Paul says. I was wondering why the numbers are so low. It's because we're not streaming on Facebook anymore. We are boycotting Facebook. So they're not going to find us on Facebook. They will only find us on YouTube. So we're just under 1,000 people in now this morning, but it's fine. We're boycotting Facebook. Just hope it doesn't affect our income. And the reason also we can do as much as we can is because we have international income that God has blessed us with. We have people watching us from Hawaii, watching us from literally every continent, sowing into this ministry. And this is not going to just be a local church. It will be a global headquarters, especially for the prophetic. So where many will be able to fly in and encounter God, and there will be things. Say with you, the law of the mind. So I'm going to do my best to get into this. Not sure if I'm going to be able to finish it. Maybe I will. But the law of the mind, the law of the mind. Meaning if I look into a mirror and I see me in a mirror, that is not the real me. It is only a reflection of who I am. So when I look into a mirror, it has the ability to show me who I am as a person. I don't touch the mirror to change something. I don't touch the reflection of me to change something. I touch myself. I change myself. Are you guys with me? Now, the Bible says that the word is like a mirror. So I'm going to speak about how to, say with me, how to upgrade my life. Let's say we have realms or levels in this realm of life. We have level one, level two, level three, level four. And level one, you know, for me to go from level one to level two, level three, level four, meaning I must graduate from one level to the other. But there are certain things that can only come to me at level three that will not come to me at level one. And if they do come to me while I'm at level one, they will grow themselves legs and run away from me. Are you guys with me? It is not God that graduates levels for me. I'm going to say it again. It is not God that makes you graduate from grade one to grade two to grade three. It is you that apply yourself. You take the right protocols, you take the right tests, you study the correct material. You put the right things into your five natural senses. And as you put it into your senses, you then begin to grow intelligently on a natural level and you're able to pass the test and you graduate to level two. Until you get to an age 60, now all of a sudden you are qualified to drive a motorbike or to have a license. Are you guys with me? Because there are certain things in life that comes to you by virtue of your levels that you've upgraded. Then there are people that are 24, 25 and they don't have their licenses yet. So the moment they try to get a car, the car will leave them. Are you guys with me? They haven't succeeded in certain levels in life. Now please, say with me, the mind of God. You see, if I am in level one and I choose that I want the things that is in level three, it'll be like the pulling of a rubber band. I will pull it towards me. I will work hard. I will run after things, but it'll shoot back the moment that I try to rest or the moment that I let go of it, because it is not meant for my level, because my mind has not been upgraded. Are you guys with me? A fake life is an attempt to pull the possibilities of a higher life, higher level, to my level. And it is called ego and pride, or to impress others. That is when I live a fake life. I put things on Instagram. I put filters up that's not the way I look. I stand in front of cars that I don't have. I stand in front of houses that I don't have. I write things that is not happening in my life. It's a fake life. I think I have those things. And the more I try to get those things, the more they try to run away from me. Are you guys with me? Listen. It is like the real way to be wealthy is not to run after things. When I say wealthy, I'm speaking of success, and I believe where the glory of God is, we've established this, there will be wealth. But a lot of people think that wealth has to come because of the presence of God. No. Wealth comes because your mind is stretched. I never knew. Let me just wait a little bit before I get into it. Are you guys with me? You know, when I go out and preach, and I preach amongst a lot of other people and so on, I feel very unqualified when I preach with them. Because these guys can preach. I mean, they can really preach. And then I feel unqualified. I'm like, oh my God, I can't preach like these guys, man. Theologically, they know everything. I think I know God a bit better, but theologically, they know everything. And you know, they preach, you know, the art of preaching, the style of homiletics, the way that you must have an introduction to a sermon and a body and a scripture, referencing to an Old Testament scripture and a conclusion and a little story here and a little whatever there, illustration there, and then closing it off. And a lot of people preach like that and they know how to bounce the scripture or how to, but you know, that is not who I am. The Lord said to me that I preach revelation as it comes. So because this is our house, I don't come here perfected and perfectly trained in a message that is perfectly carved. I do it my best if I can because I need to bring the word to you. But many times you'll find because this is a prophetic house, things will come out here. And once it comes out, then we begin to put shape and form. But the moment it comes out, it can be a bit messy. It's like a delivery room. You know, there's birth being given there. So there's blood. It's a mess there. And a lot of people look at that and they think, oh, I don't want to be in a church like this. No. You're missing the birthing of revelation. Revelation is messy in the beginning. But if you know how to grab a... So what is the price? What is the reward of a prophet? It is the ability to give revelation. A prophet's reward is the ability that a prophet has heard from heaven and can give revelation. It might sound messy, but you eat getting it fresh and raw. Then we can articulate it and begin to form it through correct teaching. Say, okay, maybe that is not right. Doctrine like that. Let's do it like that. And that is why we get a lot of times on. But God knows what He's doing. Trust me, God knows what He's doing. And I have long ago died to the opinions of men. Trust me. Otherwise, I would not be a servant of God. Otherwise, I would not have a ministry. You know, we went from here, we went to Krugersdorp, we went to Cape Town with our churches, and our churches are exploding, it's thriving, it's alive, and God is doing work. I mean, Krugersdorp is literally only 2.5 years old, I think. 3 years old. Two and a half years old, yeah. Think of it, Krugersdorp. We planted it beginning 2020, but then it was locked closed for a year and we couldn't do anything. There was no people there because we literally just planted the church. So then you have 21, 22, and we are now 23. So it's 2.5 years, not even 2.5 years. So, by God's grace, we're going to have our own decent premises within 10 years of plumb. We are now 6 years old. By God's grace, it's 7 years old. It should stand within 10 years from this planting, which is unheard of. You don't see that anywhere. You might see it with one or two churches in this whole nation that tells you of God's hand. We already have our own premises in Krugersdorp, and that one we're just going to enlarge. So we're first doing this, and then we're waiting for there. Then that one we're going to take to 1,000-seater. And, you know, because there it works a little bit different with the demographics. It's a total different demographic. There you need more numbers, more attendance to get more finances in. And so it works totally different. So we're first doing the headquarters, then we're doing that. And and then we go as the Lord leads, and then we plant churches as the Lord leads. Amen. So the real way to get success and wealth, say with me, is in becoming. So God wants you to become, not behave. He wants you to become, not to do. He wants you to be, not do. Are you guys with me? Meaning that as you continue to upgrade in more superior levels or versions of yourself, then the possibility for growth is there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 16. People are like, but where's this upgrade, different versions? The Bible is very clear on this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 16. Let's go to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Listen to this. He says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror. Say with me, the mirror. So as I look at myself in a mirror and I begin to change myself, when I look at a mirror, does God change something for me? When I look into a mirror, I can adjust and change myself. Are you guys with me? And I see the glory of the Lord are being changed into the same image. But He's saying, when I look into the mirror and I look into the glory of the Lord, the looking into the glory of the Lord is like looking into a mirror. What is the mirror? Say with me, the words. So it is like looking into the word, and then I apply the changes in my life so that I go from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, from one level of glory to a more superior level of glory. Let me change the wording. From one version of myself to one more superior version of myself. Wow, by applying the changes in my life. You see, people don't want to do this. It is comfortable not to be confronted. It is very comfortable to not change. We are creatures that hate change. We are creatures of comfort. We are creatures of habits. The moment change comes in is the moment that everything in us begins to resist and go anti it. So confrontation brings transformation, which brings growth. But unless I confront my true image, I cannot change my mind. Are you guys with me? Listen, where's the first phone you had many years ago before you upgraded to iPhone? That thing ran away from you. Why? Because maybe you got a better job. Maybe you got better income. Maybe your mind upgraded to something better. And that version of that thing can no longer stick with you. It has to go. But if you never upgraded, that thing will still stick with you. But because you upgraded, it came back and it realized you are not the state that you used to be in. I have to run away. That is why when people begin to upgrade their life, everything about them begins to change. Their clothing, the way they dress, the way they drive, where they stay, the type of friends they have. Come on. Everything changes. Some people have the same things of 20 years ago. Grow up. Are you guys with me? And we try to change the outward by not changing the inwards. It starts with the inwards. I'm going to get there now. Say with you the mind. A lot of people try to attain things without their mind getting there. And because they try to get things and attain things without their mind being stretched first and be there first, those things run away from them when they come to him. So somebody is trying to reach for a house or a car that their mind has not bought first. You see, things need to be purchased twice. Are you guys with me? It first needs to be purchased with your mind. That's what I'm preaching to encounter, because I feel alone here. We will get into now what is the mind and all that stuff spiritually, okay? Just stay with me. The mind is to the spirit what the brain is to the body. The soul is to the spirit what your central nervous system is to the body. So, unless it is purchased in your mind first, you cannot legally have it in this life. It is only your mind and the Holy Ghost that is legalized and licensed to go into the future and to see another version of yourself, or to see something that you don't have yet, and come back into today and begin to keep your body accountable and maneuver and take your body to what it has seen. It is called vision. It is called having your spiritual eyes open. It is called, Abraham, lift up your eyes and look to the stars and see, for as you see the stars, so shall your descendants be. Mind works with image. It cannot read without an image. That's why Jacob, when he had the cattle, and Laban was doing Jacob in. Jacob says, I'm going to put a rod in the water and paint it with stripes, put a striped rod in the water. And as the cattle comes, they don't have to understand fully what they're seeing. As long as they see an image, the law of the mind will cause them to give birth after what they see. What is the image that your mind's eye is seeing? And please, Leon, what is this mind's eye? Paul says that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your mind be enlightened. So when you see with your mind's eye, what image do you see? Do you see yourself failing? Or do you see yourself somewhere a year from now or 2 years from now, which is upgraded, which is in a different place? You're outside of your one bedroom or your two bedroom flat, and you're seeing yourself in a place that is bigger. And once you have purchased it in your mind, meaning you became so comfortable in your mind when you look at it, now your body is allowed to go into that place. And now when you step with your life into that place, it doesn't run away. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So there are blessings that runs to you. And when they see your current state, they either stay or they leave. Go to Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Say, overtake me. If I shall hear and hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, all these blessings shall run to me and it will overtake me if I listen to the voice of God. The voice of God is lodged in your mind, not your brain. Are you guys with me? And as we go, we'll explain the diagrams, we'll explain the picture and the image of the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit, how it all works together. But I'm just here to lay a foundation and to start this series of the mind of God, having the mind of God. So blessings are coming to you, but the moment it comes to you, realize there's a state here that is not suitable for me to stay here. It runs from you, and you think maybe I invested in a bad business. No, you didn't. It was just the obvious answer is that I haven't I've invested in a bad business, but it is not. It's not the right answer. It is that your state was not ready to receive it. The moment I change the state of my life is the moment I change my estate of my life. You give somebody today that is only used to 1,000 rand, you give them 100 million, they will go back to 1,000 rand if their mind has not been stretched. That is why many lottery winners, 95% of lottery winners, 90% or more of lottery winners that are poor. I mean, you watch the stuff on America, many of them come out of trailer parks and this and that. They literally end up back there because the state of their mind has not been changed. Something came to them that is illegal for them to have. So the question is, what are you allowed to have and what are you not allowed to have? The question is not, it is not up to God, it is up to you. How have you upgraded your life? How have you changed your life? How have you applied yourself? Are you guys with me? And listen to me, I'm getting back to one thing, say the words. The only way that I change the state of my mind is the word. How do we change the brains of individuals to retain information? We send them to universities. They study materials. We send our children to universities. And they fill their brain with a lot of information so that they can be fit to work their natural body. They take in information by the five senses and they can be successful in life. But when it comes to the spiritual man, there is a mind and there's a connector between the mind and the brain. The mind brings the spiritual, the connection between the mind and the brain is what brings the spiritual to the natural. Things were first in the spirit, then they come to the natural. So everything you see has first been there in the spirit. Are you guys with me? So the mind is very important. That's why the Bible never calls the brain of God or the brain of the spirit, but it says the mind of the spirit, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. What? Are you guys with me? What is the mind of Christ? We're going to get into it now. People will buy a new car, and then a few weeks later, that car looks the way that the old car looked like because the state of their mind has not changed. They bought a very nice car with a low state of mind, poor state. Do you remember when you moved into your two-bedroom flat and you thought, this is the biggest I've ever seen? For some of you, it's still the biggest you've ever seen. I remember when I moved into a two-bedroom flat, it was 4,000 rand a month. it was like I had my own house. Because it was the only capacity that my mind was stretched. Are you guys with me? It was the only way that my mind was stretched. For me, that was big. Yet somebody else that might have had more exposure might think that that is nothing. But for me, that's the only exposure I had. So I would put myself on purpose into situations to bring a different image to my mind. Because unless my mind has an image, it doesn't understand. Are you guys with me? If this is so simple, all of you should be flying. I believe we'll get the 100 million like this. Okay? If all of you. So, if I've never been in a big house, I will go put myself in a big house. Or sleep there, or be there. And think the possibility, but if this person can have it, why can't we have the same 24 hours? We have the same mind, same 10 fingers, same 2 eyes, same 2 ears. It is a matter that one has applied themselves more than the other one. But now that image haunts me. Because the moment I leave there, I go back to my current state. But it will haunt me. And it will push my body. I'm going to show you all of this. I'm going to conclude it in scripture, okay? It will push my body to a place until I can be trained and legally receive it. Because now my mind has been there. Now I can't stop thinking about it. And now people will call you, oh, you're just into money. You're just into this. You think more highly of yourself. The moment, those are the voices that want to keep you at level one, grade one. Don't think highly of yourself. God is not a God that wants to bless you. Listen, the blessings of God is spiritual. It's not financial. And all this nonsense, doctrinal error they are teaching you. I'm speaking about the reprogramming of your mind. Are you guys with me? The reprogramming of your mind. I'm speaking about how to manage your mind and get your mind to a place of being renewed. And I'll explain now what it means, renewed. It doesn't just mean reading the word and just changing my mind. No. There's a whole concept to when it comes to the renewing of mind. So you have ministers that get promotion. And the moment they get promotion, they have not paid the price in their life, or they have not overcome certain tests, and God promotes them. They're given a chance and an opportunity, and then they fail at that and they go back to where they were. Are you guys with me? So chance, time and chance and opportunity, the Bible says, comes to us all. But not everyone is ready for that opportunity. Not everyone is ready for that opportunity. And this requires a disciplined life. Are you guys with me? Look at Joseph. When Joseph was in prison, his mind was in the palace. And he saw already what was happening in the palace. In fact, he had it in a vision from when he was young. The Lord showed him that everyone will bow in front of you, Joseph. And that image failed to leave him. That wherever he was, it pulled him out of the pit. It pulled him out of the prison. It pulled him out of jail. Why? Because he had an image. Because your mind precedes your brain. Your mind first goes into a place before your body ventures there. This is the gospel that they've lied to you about. This is the gospel that they've left out of you. This is the gospel that they have not preached to you. And they've kept people in a poverty mindset. They said, preachers must be poor. You must be poor to be, you must be humble. You must be poor to be humble. You must be poor to be spiritual. There is nothing spiritual about not having money. And there is everything unspiritual about not having money. Trust me in this. Who can you bless when you don't have money? Who can you help out when you don't have money? To whom does unbelievers look and glorify God when you don't have money? Are you guys with me? Finances is an evidence of people's faith anyway. Let's leave that one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 15. And I'm just laying a foundation. But he that is spiritual. So what is the mind? I'm going to get into a concept of what is the mind this morning, and then how to upgrade our mind. What is the mind? I got 15 minutes left and we have to rush to Krugersdorp. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But say with me, who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Say with me like this, that he may command God. Who has the mind of the Lord that he can tell God what to do? And then Paul gives a shocking answer. He says, we have the mind of Christ. Are you guys with me? We have the mind of Christ. So now we need to figure out, what is the mind of Christ? What is the mind of Christ? I just put this series up on Facebook, the mind of God, and all the comments we got and hate comments. I'm thinking, people, you Pharisees. Oh, we are not on Facebook right now, so they can't hear us now. But you Pharisees anyway. Hypocrites and Sadducees, religious leaders and scoffers, just like it was in Jesus' days. You don't even know what you're talking about. The Bible doesn't even speak about the mind of God only. It speaks of the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, the mind of believers, the mind of unbelievers, and you have a darkened mind. So all you want to do is just quote scripture. I can give you many scriptures. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Mind of God. Where are thoughts? It's in the mind of God. The mind of the Spirit. For we do not have the mind of the flesh, but the mind of the Spirit. The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And I can go on and on and on. So the mind is to the Spirit what the brain is to the body. Are you guys with me? Unless your mind is developed, your spirit cannot be developed. Your spirit will become immobile. Your spirit will not receive growth. Your spirit will never develop. You will be an infant believer and stay an infant believer. Unless I feed my brain, I will become a vegetable when I'm older. What a sad state of affairs to be 30, 40 years old and don't know how to talk. Don't know what things mean. Don't know how to drive. Nobody stopped you from doing a driver's license. You're minded. Fear. And we'll see now where fear originates from. Where the Bible says fear originates from. People are limited by their minds. People are fearful because things have been preached to their mind. People cannot embrace prosperity because of their mind. Are you guys with me? I was brought up in ministry. Prosperity is evil. Prosperity is evil. You must live by faith. But yet I'm seeing these ministers and I'm like, they're all preaching prosperity is evil, but they got hidden prosperity all behind them. And I'm thinking, what hypocritical things are this? And I gave everything away that I had and I lived like that, but I never believed in the blessing of God, truly. Till one day I was, and God began to bless us slowly because there's a sovereign law to it. If you give, you will reap. You will sow, you will reap. And then I was walking as I was preaching and the Lord whispered to me in my ear while I was preaching. The angel whispered to me and said, I will call you to preach prosperity. Whispered audibly in my ear. And from the day I've never stopped and I don't care who says what. One thing I know, God rejoices in the prosperity of a believer. God rejoices in the prosperity. God finds pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. He finds pleasure when the saints is prospering. What? Only spiritually? No. For you to be prospering spiritually, trust me, if you're not blessing financially, it'll be very difficult to prosper spiritually. Because you'll be so distracted by the anxieties and the cares of life. You're not be able to pay this bill. You're not be able to do that. You're not be able to do this. How are you going to grow spiritually? How are you going to minister to others not being free from this world? And we're preaching this stuff because South Africa is bringing in dangerous laws that is going to destroy the rich, destroy the middle class. Trust me. Are you guys with me? And unless this thing is beaten by the Spirit of God, I don't know how. That is why we preach this stuff, so that people's minds are not limited by what is happening naturally. Listen, if your mind is developed, you are not bound by what country you live in. You are not bound by your background, your history, your circumstances. You are not bound by your family tree. You are not bound even by your bank account. If God can stretch your mind, if you can stretch your mind, you can go to where your mind is. This is Bible. Are you guys with me? So what is the mind of Christ? Christ means to be anointed. So it is simply the mind of the anointed. So when you become anointed, you receive the mind of Christ. Are you guys with me? Tonight we're going to go deeper when it comes to the anointing, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to power, so that people can, and the Holy Spirit, so that people can understand what is true power and what does it mean to be anointed with power. I will minister and lay hands on you. But the mind of Christ is the mind of the anointed. So the mind of Christ is not Christ's mind. The mind of Christ is something that Christ had. He had the mind of the anointed. The mind of Christ is something that Moses had. He had the mind of the anointed. It's the mind that David had. They had the mind of the anointed. And it's the mind that Paul says we have, the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointed thinks differently. The mind of the anointed receives things differently. They can upgrade their life. They don't look at circumstances the same way. They don't look at an impossibility the same way as somebody whose mind is not anointed. Their mind is not darker. Their mind is enlightened. They can look at an old building and they can see a massive brand new something that God is going to use. They can look at an unbeliever and see them getting saved or delivered. They can look at an impossibility and make it a possibility. The mind of the anointed thinks like God to make you walk like God. To make you talk like God. The mind of Christ will make people look at you and they won't understand you because you are thinking like God. You have God's opinion upon your life. You have God's opinion into matters. Come on, are you guys with me? You have God's solution into matters. The mind of Christ. Say the mind of Christ. You are somebody who is anointed and that thinks differently than a regular person. There's a quickness and a sharpness to somebody who carries the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointed. Are you guys with me? When you don't have the mind of Christ, people's opinions bother you. You care what that one is saying. You care that this one is thinking. You care where they say, oh, I don't go to encounter. It's a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult. You fear people so much, your whole life is run by them. How many families, even young people, may this be a rebuke to them if they watch now. Oh, I don't feel safe to be with Encounter because, you know, Encounter knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who did a crime. Well, pack up your baby toys. Clean your nappies and go run to AFM. Pick up your call. Any other church? Okay. Doxa, wherever. We love all of them, but for everybody, there's a different grade. There's a different level. No, I don't feel. Nobody even knows who you are. Do you now think you're going to be tainted? Listen. In actual fact, you better run right now. Because when we are going to be in the news again, you're going to fall to pieces. You wouldn't even when Christ was crucified, you'd be running away. When they called him a criminal, he was punished for a war crime. a political crime. Treaty. Are you guys with me? When you are in the mind of the anointed, the mind of Christ, you're no longer to please God. You already know that it is no longer a bait. You already know that you're pleasing God. You're not fear the opinions of man. You know that you have become, you know that God is pleased with you. The mind of the anointed, the mind of Christ, you see a highway in a desert. You see a rivers in the wilderness. You see a fruitful place in the dry place. Where there's no money, you see the abundance and the prosperity of God. I speak to a lot of people in the United States. I say to them, listen, how do you think we're in a third world country and we have to build a church that is more expensive than the church that you are building? I was speaking to somebody building a church there. I said, it's more expensive. Yours is $4 million. Ours is $5 to $6 million. Your median income of a family household is 800,000 rand a year. Am I right now? 50,000. It's R1 million a year. 50,000 a year. R1 million a year. So that is 100,000 rand a month. That's median, meaning that is like your low average. Do you know what the median income in South Africa is? Is 16,000 rand a month. 16,000. That's not family. That is individual, by the way. Sorry. R1 million a year. It's just 100,000 a month. That's individual in the United States. I said, so these are two different worlds. And you want to come and attack us and say we are too spiritual and we are speaking about spiritual things. You don't need spiritual things because you have all these other options. Man, when we pray, God lifts our spirit and we see another situation. Feels like we are in another room. We're not also traveling. We're moving by the Spirit of the Lord. You just never had to press into those realms because you don't need to. Because some other things are there for you, like easily, okay? So people judge outside of their opinion. And I said, the only way we can do this is by the hand of God. Meaning the only way we're going to see and counterstand, people will know it's nothing of us. It is God. It is for God's glory. It is not the same to build today as what it was 20, 30 years ago. The banks don't finance you. You have to do everything cash. It's 100 times more expensive. Inflation is crazy. And the government doesn't want you to build. So municipalities doesn't want you to build. So there's a lot of things. And once we have gone through certain things, we're going to share with you just how much it cost us to do certain things. I mean, it is demonic. As a mind of Christ, you will know things that regular people do not know. You will know the deep things of Scripture that ordinary Christians don't know. Ordinary Christians will call you demonic and heretical. They'll call you a witch or a warlock simply because you have an understanding of certain matters that they don't. They don't have the mind of the anointed, the mind of Christ. Are you guys with me? When you have the mind of Christ, sin begins to become less in your life. I'm not saying you can never always be sinless. There was only one who was sinless. His name is Jesus Christ. But you know your sin starts with a thought. So the more you have the mind of Christ, your thoughts change. The more your thoughts change, the less you sin. A lot of people try to deal with the action of sin and not the root of the sin. They try to stop smoking, but they don't deal with the root. The moment you can change your mind, you can change everything about you. You can upgrade your life. You can even live in a two-bedroom, one-bedroom flat with a changed mind of living in a five-bedroom house. It'll just be a matter of time until your mind pushes your body to get into that realm. What use is it for us to preach a message that'll keep you in bondage and keep you poor? Are you guys with me? Say with me, the mind of the anointed. Renewing your mind is to set your mind to the original state that God has ordained it. So let me explain. Let's go to Romans chapter number. I want to show you how to, if we're going to get there, we don't have much time. Let me close off with this. I'm not going to be able to get into the inward man and the outward man and the brain and the central nervous system and our body and our mind and our soul and our body. I'm not going to be able to get into that. We'll touch on that a bit next week and as we go further. But I need to close off with this. Go to Romans chapter number 1, verse 12, verse 1. Say how to upgrade my life. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Put a New King James Version for me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, say with me, that you present. Say that I present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, number one, why must I upgrade my life? The moment I upgrade my life, the Bible says you will walk and prove to yourself and others what is the will of God. But hold on. He says the moment you renew your mind, not your life, your mind, you will prove to yourself, it says in the Greek, what is the will of God. So the moment you know how to renew your mind, which I'm going to explain to you now how, you will see the will of God in your mind for your life. And your body will be steered into that. Many has experienced delays. Many people have experienced setbacks because they've been out of the will because their mind has not been renewed. Are you guys with me? Let's go back to verse 1. Let's get into it. I'm going to give you three things quickly. I got 5 minutes, three keys quickly. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, say that I present. This is something that you are doing, not that God is doing. God is saying, I want you to take every faculty, every member of your body and present it to me, meaning make every member and faculty of your body holy. So first of all, how do you renew your, how do you bring a change to your life? How do you transform? How do you upgrade your life? And number one, you present, you take your whole body and you do it. Say, I do it. This is not something you pray and ask God to do. You choose to put yourself into the service of God. How do I put myself into the service of God? I serve in the local church. I serve His will. That is how I present my body, a living sacrifice. I'm by prayer, then I'm serving in an e-group, then I become an e-group leader, then I go through School of Discipleship, Global School of Ministry, I'm here to pack the chairs, I'm presenting. You will never change unless you present your body. God does not anoint anybody that hasn't served. You cannot have the anointed mind, the mind of the anointed, the mind of Christ, unless you have served and presented your body. So it is an act that you are doing. Say, I present my body to be holy, acceptable, to which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not even look or taste or sound like the age that you're currently in. What is the age? Everything that is happening where people don't know whether they are a he or a she or anything like that. And that is why we have to change or do something with the schooling system. Our church is still very young, but I believe we can have a vision because I began to see it in my mind that we can have a school where it is not pushed upon. Okay. Now that'll be after we have the church buildings and all those things, but it'll be quick. It'll be quick because that is easy to do. So present your body. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Say everything, be transformed. He's not saying, I will transform you. I want you to transform yourself. I want you to upgrade your life. you look into the mirror, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 18. In the glory, look into the glory. How do I get into the glory? I get into the glory as we have shown in the conference. Then you look at it as a mirror. Then you're like, oh no, I need to change this about my life. I need to change this. Then I go look into the word. The word is a mirror. I need to change this. The word is saying do this. I need to, now let me change. God isn't going to do it for me. I must do it. The responsibility is upon me. Are you guys with me? So I begin to change myself. So I transform myself. How do I transform myself fully? He says, by the renewing of your mind. If the Bible stopped there and said, to be transformed, we would have had trouble. But it says, by the renewing, say renew. When your mind was new, it was childlike. Come on, are you guys with me? Be like the little children. For it is like them to whom the kingdom is given. Watch them. Why? Their mind is not polluted. What does this generation do? They want to pollute the minds of the children. That when your child gets out of university, you cannot even recognize them again because they've been so indoctrinated by this nonsense that is going on. And their mind has become darkened and you cannot even look at them in their eyes. Are you guys with me? So he says, renew your mind. Listen, man, from the day that I got saved, I got into this word. I prayed this word. I fasted this word. I read books and books and books. There would not be one night that I would go to bed where I would not envision my future and have in my mind's eye. Listen, my wife and I moved because of threats. I understand that. We moved because of threats. We moved about 15 times almost. God, say with you the word of God. You need to marinate. You need to put yourself into this word like never before. So the Bible says renew your mind. So renew means take it back to the place of a child. A child can dream of a palace. You as an adult don't want to dream of a 5-bedroom house because you think it's sin. Serious. Curse that religion that has indoctrinated your mind. Get a brainwash. Scrub your brain with a new revelation. That God wants you to be blessed. I don't care what limitation there is. Just lie and begin to learn to dream. And then once you're dreaming, you're reading the words. Because you see, because what you visualize cannot come to pass unless your mind is renewed. How do you renew your mind? By the word. What does the word do? It is the washing of your mind by the water of the word, which takes it back to its original state. What is its original state? The state that Abraham had his mind in before it was polluted. The state of a child before it, faith and doubt and unbelief or lack of faith has come in where they can believe anything. So it's like taking a phone, not upgrading a phone, but setting it back to default settings, to factory settings, where there's sometimes errors that can come into your phone. Even if you upgrade, it doesn't fix it. You have to take it back to factory settings. You have to renew the phone. The moment you renew it, you can build afresh on it. And many times God can't build on your mind because it is not renewed by the word. So what does the word do? It washes your mind. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces. Come on, are you guys with me? Bone and marrow, soul and spirits. Hebrews chapter number, where is this? Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 12. Listen to this. As you're standing on your feet. For the word of God is living and powerful. Sharper, say with me, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirits. Listen, scientists now can't even define the difference between soul and spirit, yet Paul and Jesus spoke about the difference of the soul and the spirit. And he says, there's one thing, you can go scientist, biologist, you can go to any expert. They cannot differentiate soul and spirit. There's one thing that when you get into this word, it pierces soul and spirit. It separates you and washes your mind. It helps your, are you guys with me? Now it says, division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, the mind, and the intents of the hearts. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things were naked, open to the eyes of him who must give an account. He says, listen, it is the word of God that is the one that renews your mind. Are you guys with me? Then Philippians 4 verse 8 says, set your mind on things above, put it Philippians 4, 8. Quickly, follow me. Philippians 4, finally, brethren, how do I renew my mind? I go into the words. Then I begin to sit. I meditate on this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, focus on these things. Your mind cannot change with meditation. Many Christians are prayer. They can pray and they can fast, but they don't know how to meditate. Meditate is I get into the word, I meditate on it, I get into a place of contemplation, focus, prayer, a state of mind where I am gazed upon an image. Your mind works by images. It then takes images and articulate it into words. Once it articulates it into words, it has the ability to speak it. That is why when God spoke to Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, what do you see? Not Jeremiah, what do you hear? He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see the branch of an almond tree. He said, you have seen well. God had to show him an image. How does God speak to you? Image, visions, dreams. Are you guys with me? Stand to your feet, raise your hands to the Lord. Less, and we haven't even touched the surface of the subject of the mind, the subject of the soul. You can only be truly at rest when your soul is at rest. And the soul is connected to the mind. The soul can never be at rest unless the mind is renewed. Raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray, let your glory fill this place. Let the anointing come upon your people. Let there be a renewing of mind coming upon them. Let us get into this word like never before. Let the power of the Holy Ghost with the word of God, let us renew our mind, be transformed to prove the will of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Tonight I pray, even as I'm here by 5 o'clock, I pray that your presence, your power, and your glory will be here. That there will be impartation. That there will be a renewing. That there will be a refreshing. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give a praise offering, church.